Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What do we human beings have in common with Jesus by nature, according to our natural birth? Well, obviously we have human flesh and blood in common with him, a human body and soul, a common descent from Adam and Eve, and some experiences that are common to all human beings. Beyond that, not very much. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. We are not. Jesus is the very image of God, pure, spotless, and clean, not only according to his divine nature, but also according to his human nature. We are, by nature, sinful and unclean, having inherited the sinful image of our first father, Adam, which Jesus, being born of a virgin mother, didn't inherit from Adam. Jesus is righteous. We are unrighteous by nature. Jesus is good. We, by nature, are evil. Jesus is light. We are darkness by nature. Jesus, with his righteous life, earned the Heavenly Father's favor and eternal life. We, with our unrighteous lives, have earned our God's displeasure and eternal death. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. We are the sinners whom he came to save. So we don't have very much in common beyond our actual bare humanity. But he came to save us. And how did he come to save us? The first step was taking on our humanity, our human flesh, becoming our brother. As the writer to the Hebrews puts it, since we have flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in it too. The eternal Son of God came into the flesh to become like sinners, to have something in common with us in order that we might come to have much more in common with him. That brings us to today's gospel. In the gospel, we hear of this other thing that not everyone has in common with Jesus, but yet all men are invited to have in common with him, even as all of you here have it in common with Jesus. In the gospel, we hear that Jesus was baptized, just as all of you have been. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Luke tells us that Jesus was about 30 years old when he stepped forward to be baptized. What had he been doing for those 30 long years from his birth until that time? Well, besides what we heard on Sunday, that incident when he was 12 years old in the temple, he had been growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Living the life of an average Jewish child and then man. Nothing uncommon, really, and yet very uncommon to us in this respect, that it was all done without sin. It was all done without complaining or whining to his parents when he was young. It was all done without the typical self-centeredness of childhood, without the focus on self that typically describes the teenage years, without the rebellion of youth and the pleasure-seeking of the flesh and the worrying about the future that occupies the rest of our race. He lived his life perfectly, humbly, compassionately, with love for his Father in heaven and with love for his neighbor all the time. But then Jesus came to John for this extraordinary thing called baptism. He came to John, and it says John tried to prevent him. Well, of course he did. 30 years earlier already, this same John leapt for joy in his mother's womb as Jesus approached in his own mother's womb. You remember that account of Mary's visitation with Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit had taught John who Jesus was since before either of them was born. We don't know how much, if any, interaction John and Jesus had since then. But we do know that John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was a penitent sinner, baptizing penitent sinners. They had everything in common. But as Jesus approached, John knew that Jesus was different, that Jesus had no need to repent of anything, nor did he have any sins that needed washing away. I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? It's a complete reversal, the opposite of the way things were supposed to be. The sinless one approaches the sinner for help. The sinless one goes to the place where sins are washed away and insists on being washed in that very same washing and water. It had to be this way, Jesus says. Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Why did God the Father consider it a righteous thing for his already righteous Son to be baptized by John? Because this was God's way of connecting sinners to the sinless one, a place where we can meet, a way that's easy, a way that's available to practically everyone in the world, wherever there's water and a preacher to baptize. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, brings his righteousness to this sacrament so that all who participate in holy baptism might have a righteousness not to bring to baptism, but to take away from baptism. Not their own righteousness that comes from doing enough good things, but the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of Christ that is credited to the account of all who believe and are baptized. When sinners are baptized, they don't walk away from those waters with their sins still being charged to them. Instead, their sins are washed away, and Jesus' righteousness is charged to them. They walk away clothed with Christ. Now, when Jesus was baptized, a miraculous event took place. Two of them, of course. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that helps to make a few things clear for us. First, that the one God who had revealed himself in Scripture in the Old Testament as the one God and yet had hinted at a threeness of him, now he makes it much clearer than it had ever been up till that point. There is a Father who has sent his beloved Son, and from the Father proceeds the Holy Spirit to the Son, and then, of course, from the Son to the world. You also heard, though, in the Old Testament reading this evening from Isaiah chapter 42, one of those hints of the threeness of the one God. It said, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold." Well, the "my" and the "I" is God the Father, but the servant is the Christ, his Son, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I, that is God the Father, have put my Spirit upon him. And there we see the distinct persons of the Trinity already in the book of Isaiah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now revealing themselves in perfect harmony and unity at the baptism of Jesus. One God who is three persons. The same God whose name is now placed upon each of us when we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus instructed. It also becomes clear with the help of Isaiah's prophecy what purpose baptism served for Jesus himself. This was his formal ordination, if you will, his inauguration ceremony into the official duties of the Christ, the Anointed One. Anointed with water, in this case, anointed also with the Holy Spirit. Everything that Isaiah said about the servant of the Lord, the elect one, was said about Jesus. That he would be the source of righteousness for the nations, the righteousness that is applied to us by baptism and faith. Yet another thing that's made clear here in Jesus' baptism is God the Father's love for his Son, his approval of his Son. Which of us wouldn't want to hear these words spoken to us by God? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father spoke those words not just about Jesus as the eternal Son of God, but also about Jesus as the perfectly righteous Son of Man. Now, none of us, no one on earth, deserves to have those words spoken about him or her by God. But here, in the person of Jesus Christ, God has approached sinners by taking on our human flesh. And here at the baptism of our Lord, God has given us a way to have everything in common with Jesus, including the perfect love of a Father and the perfect approval of our Father in heaven. What do you have in common with Jesus as baptized believers? Well, Jesus was baptized, and you have been baptized. This is the thing that Christians have in common with Christ that the rest of the world can't yet claim. And if you are baptized into Christ, then everything that is his is yours. He is the beloved Son of God. You, baptized believers, are the beloved sons and daughters of God. He is declared to be well-pleasing to God the Father, so are you. He died to sin once for all, and so did you, for as Paul says, you were buried with Christ through baptism into death. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so you too have been made alive together with Christ, so that you may go and sin no longer, and then one day have your body raised from the dead just like his was. You also heard the psalm, Psalm 2, this evening. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance. This is what Jesus inherits, and so it's what you Christians inherit too, baptized into him as you are. Now, of course, you get the rest, too, that is his. As baptized believers in Christ, you have more in common with him. Christ was hated by the world. You, too, will be hated by the world if you live according to your baptism. The glory of Christ was hidden behind shame and the cross in this earthly life. So your glory, too, will remain hidden behind shame and the cross. And just as Christ lived to please his Father in heaven and to serve his neighbor in love, so also we who share a common baptism with him must live to please our Father in heaven and to serve our neighbor in love, just as our baptized brother did. not to earn God's favor with our works of love, but because we are sons of God in common with Christ through faith in Christ. Now, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the second lesson you heard this evening, consider your calling, brothers. God has chosen people who are foolish, weak, base, and despised to be brought into Christ, and through Christ into the eternal kingdom of God. You are the ones with whom God wanted to have everything in common. And that's truly amazing. That's grace. And it all starts and it all flows from this divine promise that we have in holy baptism. This baptism that we have in common with Christ, so that we may have all things in common with Christ, who has become for us from God wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.